All right, Reverend. Psalm 119. David begins in verse 57, and he says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." This is where salvation begins in our experience of it. God had given David a new heart, and he had brought David to behold the Lord Jesus and given him faith to believe the Lord was his portion. He said, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." Portion means my part, my inheritance, my all. Not only in the life to come, but right now, throughout this life. God the Father chose his people and gave his people to his Son. And the Lord Jesus took flesh, and from the womb he was holy. He came forth from the womb, saying of the Father, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." He came forth serving the Father as the only righteous, perfect, faithful believer God looks to, and the one in whom God accepts all his people. The Lord said, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I will keep thy words." He said it from eternity. He promised the Father in eternity he would keep all God's words, and that's what he did. He kept all the law, all the prophets. He fulfilled everything that God had written. He fulfilled all righteousness for his people. He brought in everlasting righteousness for us, and then he went to the cross and bore our sin and put away our sins forever. Scripture says he loved us, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ alone by himself did by his obedience to God. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. When Christ entered into our hearts and gave us a new heart, a new man created in his image, he gave us faith to behold what he had done for us. And he made us to know he is our portion. He is our portion. He meets every need we have. He is himself every need we have. He has provided all. He is providing all. And he shall provide all. He is our portion. And in the end, he will be our everlasting inheritance. He made us kings and priests unto God by his own blood. And he's our portion. God typified this when he delivered the children of Israel into Canaan, and he made Aaron and his sons priests unto God. And when he divided the land, he didn't give Aaron and his sons any part in the land. God said to Aaron and his sons, he said, The Lord spake unto Aaron, "Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land." They never owned a piece of ground. They didn't own anything. "You'll have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them." I am thy part. That's what God told them. I'm thy part. That's what Christ tells us. I'm your part. I'm thine inheritance among the children. That's what God teaches us. And just like those priests, the Lord is our portion in that he's given us the best of the oil. That's what the Lord provided for those priests. He's given us the best of the oil. He's given you the Holy Spirit to know him. He's given us the best of the wine. He's given us his precious blood that's cleansed us from all our sin, and it continues to cleanse our defiled feet. He gave us the best of the wheat. He gave us Christ, the bread from heaven. That means Christ is our life. That's what this thing is, for him to be your portion. He is our life. He's my life. I titled this, How the Lord is My Portion. He is our portion because He's our life. He is, we thought we had wisdom. He makes us to know He's our wisdom. We thought we had worked out some righteousness. He makes us know He's our righteousness. We thought we had some kind of holiness of ourselves. He makes you know He's your holiness. We thought we had freed ourselves. He makes you know He's your redemption. And in addition to all this, He's our portion in that He is our prophet who is teaching us constantly. He's our priest who's representing us to God constantly. And He's our King who is ruling everything that's coming to pass in our life from the least to the greatest. Everything. And He makes us know when He does this, He's our portion. He's our portion. He said in Deuteronomy 32:9, the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob's the lot of His inheritance. This is what He does for us, what He did for Jacob, the children of Israel. He found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. You know how you guard the apple of your eye. This is what we're going to see David speaking about in this passage, in this psalm. He makes you to know you are Christ's and Christ is God's, and all things are yours. Everything He's working, death, life, everything is yours. And they get that, brethren. He's your portion, and you're His portion. And everything He created, I wish you think of this personally for yourself that believe God. You think everything you see around you that's been made and everything that's transpiring in this world from great countries to minute details that happen to you today, it's all yours and God's working it just for you. Just for you. What's He doing? Why? He's teaching you more and more. He's your portion. Nothing else, nobody else. He's your portion. That's what He's instructing. That's what He's teaching. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, because the Lord is our portion. The Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. There was no cause in us. The cause was God, His grace. It pleased Him. It pleased Him. So nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when He reveals this, our resolve is what David's resolve was. When He first gives you grace, this is our resolve. I've said I would keep thy words. By God's grace, David began like every believer begins. First of all, I'll keep Christ the word. He's the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. By faith, by God's grace, I'll keep believing Him. I'll hold on to Him. I'll trust Him. I'll continue in Him. I'll never let Him go. That's the heart He gives you. I've said I'd keep the words of the gospel. I'll believe the gospel. I'll believe the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. I will believe. I'll continue to believe that God chose me freely by His grace and trusted me to His Son. I believe the gospel of substitution. I believe God is able to provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And that's what He did in Christ, my substitute. Put away my sin. I believe the gospel. I will believe the gospel of His atoning blood. I will continue to believe the Lord has made propitiation, that He is the propitiation of His people. I believe the gospel of justification through faith in Christ alone, apart from our works. I believe God will never again impute sin to His people, that God has justified us and made us righteous in His Son, and He imputes righteousness to us because by Christ's obedience He made me righteous. That's what we believe. I'll keep His words. And then God's child desires to keep every gospel precept of our Lord Jesus Christ. The resolve He puts in your heart is you will walk in His way. You will keep every word. When He shows you Himself, you see there is nothing but good in the way God commands His child to walk. And you have a resolve in your heart, I will keep His ways. I will keep His words. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. But We don't know much of this good news at first. We're delighted. We see Him. We know Him. We believe Him. He's our portion. And this is the resolve of our heart. But we don't know much of what it means that He's our portion. And we don't know much of what it means that we're the sinner. And these two go so, they go together. Because for Him to be our portion and all our portion and only Him our portion, we're going to have to know more and more that our flesh contributes nothing. Contributes nothing. The Lord is our portion by keeping us and teaching us more and more that He's our portion. He keeps us knowing He's our Savior. He's our all. And He keeps us seeing our need of Him. He keeps us seeing our need of His grace. He keeps us seeing our need of His mercy. And He's growing us more and more to see this and know this. In every way, He's showing us, I'm your portion. He's keeping us depending entirely upon Him alone for everything, for all. He's growing us more and more to know He alone is our portion. He's our portion. Now, first of all, the Lord is our portion by keeping us knowing our need of Him. We read there in verse 58, David said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. You see that the margin says thy face, your countenance. This is His favor. This is His presence. I entreated your face with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Spurgeon had a good comment on this. He called this a brief but complete account of the conversion of a sinner and of the restoration of the backslidden child of God. You see, that first hour that the Lord makes you to know He's your portion, and you know He's your portion, and He puts this resolve in our heart to keep His word. We do just what David said here. We entreat His favor with our whole heart. We call on God. We don't make demands. We entreat God for His face to shine upon us, for Him to have favor to us. We cry out to Him for mercy. We think on our ways, and we see we are the sinner. And we mourn our sin, and we turn our feet to His testimonies, and we make haste without delay to keep His commandments, believing with, trust my Son. But He keeps you, He does that for you in the very first, when He converts you. But that's not the last time. David here is not at the beginning of his life. Somebody said that this was probably a diary. Psalm 119 is a diary of David's life that he wrote all through his life. That could be, it's certainly a picture of a child of God's life. You see David on the mountain, you see him in the valley, you see him mourning, you see him rejoicing. All through this. But many times God makes us to behold Him, that He's our portion. And when He does it, He makes you think on your ways. Even the best things that you may have done as a child of God, He makes you look upon the things you've done. And we find great reason to entreat God's favor and cry to mercy for mercy from God and ask for His grace and much reason to turn our feet to His testimonies. Spurgeon said, do you ever think you've done well? When you think on your ways and you look back and you examine your ways and you examine your life right now, do you think you've done well? He said, in that very thinking, you have done ill. In that very thinking. But the Lord's our portion in that He keeps us depending entirely upon Him the rest of our days. And He's showing us, growing us more and more why we need Him. He left us in these bodies of death for a reason. He left us in these bodies of death for a reason. And part of that reason is to keep us knowing He's our portion and we need Him. We need Him. He brings you to see your sins more and more. And you just think, if we cry for God's favor when we consider our ways, thinking on the best of our ways, how much more when He brings you to think on the worst ways, all you sin. Now, we're not told what occasion this was with David, but we know there were many, many occasions. We find it throughout the Psalms where David is calling on God for mercy and grace and saying things similar to what he says right here. In this psalm, he keeps repeating. In verse 67, he said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Before I was afflicted, I went astray. This is as a believer. "But now have I kept thy word." And he says it again and again, and he ends in verse 176 and said, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." It seems like David, in this psalm, may be speaking of what God did for him after his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. And I'll show you in a moment why I lean that way. But it could be any part of David's life. But I just feel like, from what I see here, that that's probably it's after that. But here's where God brought David every time, from the very beginning to the very end. He said, "I entreated thy favor." He came to God, begging God to shine His face on him, to make His presence known, to turn His countenance upon him and be gracious to him. And he said, "And I did it with my whole heart." I did it with my whole heart. The whole heart, yes, it is, you know, with all my heart, yes. But it's that whole heart God's created. And we really only seek God with our whole heart when God has just made us see we need God to be our portion. And He does this many times in our life. And He made him cry, "Be merciful unto me according to thy word." There's a need for that, isn't it? A need for mercy. "Be merciful to me according to the word, to thy word." Now, our Lord Jesus knew no sin. He was perfect. He walked this world perfectly. But He was made sin for His people. And when our Lord hung in darkness on the cross, God turned His face from our substitute and would not make His face shine upon our Redeemer. We hear the Lord cry in Psalm 13:1. He said, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" That's what David's saying when he said, "I entreated thy favor," your face. How long will you hide your face from me? He said, "How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemy say I prevailed against him." And he ends there and he says, "But I've trusted in thy mercy. I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." By that perfect faith in God our Father, by our Lord Jesus, when He hung there in that darkness, and His perfect faithfulness to trust that He would see God's mercy and He would know God's salvation when He had satisfied justice, by that perfect obedience, He bore the wrath of God, that separation, that death. "How long will you forsake me, Lord? Will it be forever?" Well, it was an eternity. It satisfied an eternity of wrath that Christ's people would have had to bear. And he bore that and put away the sin of His elect and made us righteous in Him, so that He's made you to know when He came to you and taught you that He's your perfection. Now, for the sake of His Son, for the sake of the Lord Jesus, our prophet, priest, and king, He brings us here time and time again. And God wrought this in David's heart to keep David knowing and to teach him a little more how the Lord is his portion. And because Christ did that for David and for all his people, he will make you cry, "Lord, will you show me your face?" Because He's hidden it from you. And you don't see His presence. And you don't see Him. And he brings you to cry and entreat God for His face, for His favor. He does it because He won't permit us to become self-sufficient and prideful. If He made it to where you just had no issues with this body of death anymore and you could just live above sin, and we'd be prideful. We would fall into the opposite end of the spectrum. And our Lord's not going to let that happen. He left us in this body of death to keep us beholding our sin, to keep us entreating His favor with our whole heart and begging mercy from God. And God worked this in David. He said in Psalm 27:8, God worked this in David. He said in Psalm 27:8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is how much He's our portion. We need Him to, that still small voice to speak in our heart and say, seek my face. And we don't even know what it is, but we just find ourselves needing to call on Lord. Lord, show me your favor. Show me your face. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Have you ever cried that as a believer, since you've been a believer? This is Him showing us He's our portion. By bringing us to a place over and over to where you cry out to God and say, Lord, hide not your face from me. You've been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Look at Psalm 51. This is after David had sinned, and the Lord told him that his sin was forgiven. But he came to the Lord, and this was his entreaty. He said in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. He said in verse 4, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. He not only owned his sin, he owned what he is. He said in verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And in verse 9, he said, Lord, hide thy face from my sins. Don't hide your face from me. He's entreating God for his favor, for his face. But he says, but hide your face from my sin. And blot out all my iniquities. Created me a clean heart, O God. Watch this. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. There's his face. That's his favor. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David had experienced this, and he many different times. And it's good to listen to somebody who's gone through something like what David's gone through. That would be the wise thing, is to ask them, what has the Lord taught you? That's what David said. When you've done this for me, Lord, then I'll teach transgressors thy ways. We all seen his acts. He said in Psalm 119, Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. And this is what the Lord's teaching his people. Since our Savior put away the sin of his people, for the sake of our son, his son, because he is our portion, God had mercy on David. He had mercy on David. He shined his face again and he restored him. And it happened again. David was converted again. You hear the Lord speak to his apostles and say, when you're converted, or except you be converted. They were converted. They believed the Lord. But the Lord converts us many times. Every time He renews you, every time He restores you, it's like it just happened for the first time. That's how fresh and new it is in your heart. He thought on His ways, and all over again, He said, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Brethren, the sins of God's saints of old, they don't make us excuse our sins. That's not why we look at these things. But God's continual mercy and his restoration of his saints sure does give us a good hope. Sin not. But brethren, when you do not think all hope is lost. Christ is your portion. That means he's your perfection. That means he's your righteousness. That means he's your holiness. It's going to turn you out of the wrong way back into the right way. The cure is always Christ and him crucified. The cure is always Christ and him crucified. Most of what you hear preached in religion is going down to the Gulf of Mexico and trying to turn the river down there where it's a mile and a half wide. God's going back up there where you can stand straddle of it and turn it with your hand. He's going to the heart. And God's dealing with the heart, and he has to renew us again to behold Christ in the heart. The first step to turning us back into the right way is to turn us to Christ, our substitute, to bring us to cry to him for mercy and rely upon him who is our portion. And for his sake, he renewed mercy in David. He made David eager as he did the first hour to haste to keep his commandments. This is how God's growing us in grace. Just like when you're teaching a little child to walk and they fall, you pick them up and you teach them again. And they fall and you pick them up and you teach them again. That's what God's doing for us all the way up until we draw our last breath. In fact, I think if we are in our bed dying, we are still trying to depend on the arm of this flesh right up to the last breath. So God makes you see he's your portion. He's your portion. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard him. And that's so of our Redeemer. And because it's so of our Redeemer, and because he's your portion by who he is and what he accomplished, when you are in affliction and cry to the Lord will hear your cry. Now, secondly, that's not all the Lord's doing. Being our portion, the Lord gave David ongoing chastening. He said here in verse 61, "The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law." This is why I think David's writing of what God did after his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, after he committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed Uriah. Now, it could be at any point, but the reason I say that is because he keeps speaking about the reproach and the derision of men. And God promised David this was going to be part of his chastening the rest of his days. God promised him that. But David knew these men were sent of God. He knew that. God did it to make David depend more upon the Lord. This was part of making David know, "I'm your portion, David. I'm your portion." God asked Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And sometimes the devil uses men. Sometimes the devil takes your health. Sometimes he uses other things like he did with Job and like we see with David. But what the devil's ultimate end is to rob us. David said, "They've robbed me." His goal is to rob us of our portion, to rob us of Christ, our portion. Just curse God and die. How can you be a child of God? To rob us of our portion, to rob us of faith in Christ, to rob us of our hope in him alone. That's his desire. But it's God working it. It's God ruling it. God sending it to teach his child and make us know he alone is our portion. Through it, God made David remember and rejoice in the gospel even more. Even more. He said, "They've tried to rob me, but I've not forgotten thy law. I haven't forgotten your gospel, Lord." That's what God said of Job. It wasn't because of Job. Job sinned. He defended himself. He exalted himself. He did everything in the world in the course of all of this. But God told the devil from the beginning, he is not going to curse me. He's not going to forget what I've done for him. How was that? Because God was his portion and God was keeping him knowing he's his portion. Our Lord Jesus knew no sin, and yet he experienced the same thing David experienced. The same that you experienced, child of God. Christ said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. That's what our Savior said. They made me afraid. That's the Lord showing you and me that we don't have strength in ourselves. He's our portion. It's him making us cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, beginning with our own self. Because you see, I'm afraid. So our Savior comforts and he keeps us remembering the gospel that he alone is our portion. In Psalm 3:1, this was a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. He said, Lord, how are they increased that troubled me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. You see how they were trying to rob David of his faith, rob him of his hope in Christ, rob him of his portion. But our Savior suffered that. He suffered that. Men saying, call on God if he'll have you. He said he was the elect of God. But look where the Lord kept him right here, verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're my portion. My glory, you're the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I waked because the Lord sustain me. The Lord's your portion. He's your shield. He's the lifter up of your head. He will sustain you. That's what it means that he's your portion. Not only does the Lord not let us forget Christ as our portion, he uses the affliction to make us more thankful that he's our portion. David said in our psalm in verse 62, he said, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Because of your righteous judgments. David had said back in verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. He said, Lord, I won't praise myself. If I'm enabled to be holy, Lord, I'm going to praise you. And what God did for David is he sanctified the affliction to his heart. That's how he's your sanctification. He sanctified this afflicting chastening of these men trying to rob him to his heart. And David thanked God even for the affliction. He knew this was God's righteous judgment. This was God's faithfulness to him because God was his portion. Look down at verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. See that? When the Lord's dealing with us and it's the roughest, that's when he brings you to bless God even for the rod. He grows you in the knowledge that he's your portion. Because you see, his covenant faithfulness, that's what David said. These judgments are right, Lord. This is your faithfulness afflicting me. And that made him see that covenant the Lord made toward him was an everlasting covenant. And for Christ's sake, nothing could change it. David, his last word was, he said, God made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure, and this is all my salvation and all my desire. What was he saying? The Lord's my portion. It was all his life learned that. That was his last words he wrote. If he summed all his life up, he said, "This is what I've learned. The Lord's my portion." David forgot not God's gospel, because God's mercy to David when he sinned. Now listen, he didn't forget God's gospel, because by God's mercy to him when he sinned, it made David more merciful when he was sinned against, even toward those God used to afflict him. It made David not want to make God's children afraid. He said, "They've made me afraid, Lord." He didn't want to do that. God's mercy made him more merciful. You take Absalom, his own son, stole the throne, turned the children of Israel against David, and pursued David to kill him. And you find David in 2 Samuel 13:37. David mourned for his son every day. He commanded his men and he said, "You deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom." You see, when the word came to David and he saw his sin and he entreated God for mercy, God had mercy on him and dealt gently for Christ's sake with him. And he said, "You deal gently for my sake with a young man, even with Absalom." And when they told him Absalom had been killed, David mourned and wept for his son. You say, "Well, that's just his son." Well, Shimei cursed David. Followed him all the way, a long ways, just cursing him, calling him everything under the sun. But when Shimei came and fell down, asking David not to remember how he had spoken perversely, David had mercy on him, and David promised he would not die. What made David do that? Because David saw he deserved to die, and God had mercy on him, for Christ's sake. Promised him he would not die. His sin was forgiven. And that made David, and even in this affliction of these men, it made him not forget that gospel. Mephibosheth, he even was deceived, and he forsook David for a little while. He came and he asked mercy from David, and David said, this was David's answer when he came asking mercy. He started trying to tell why he had forsaken him and he'd been deceived. David said, "Why speakest thou any more of thy matters?" I don't want to hear about it. David kept his covenant for Jonathan's sake. Why? Because he saw God keep his covenant to David for Christ's sake. That's why. David forgot not God's law. God had shown David great mercy for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And so David showed mercy for the sake of the Lord Jesus. David knew God's judgments are right. He knew the affliction was God's faithful rod. It was sin of God to show David that Christ alone is his portion. And he praised God for it. One last thing. God is our portion in that he also provides brethren to remind us of this good news. He said in verse 63, "I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts." The Lord provided David with brethren in whom the Lord had worked this same affliction. These were men who believed the Lord and who loved their brethren. These were men who believed the Lord, and they had been in seasons where they didn't act like they believed him, and they didn't act like they loved their brethren, and they had, just like David had been in. But the Lord had done for them what he was doing for David, and they were gracious to remind him of the Lord's faithfulness and grace during his affliction. And so God increased love in his heart for his brethren, as well as for the Lord. This is another way the Lord's your portion. He's going to keep you provided with brethren to help you and encourage you when you cast down. The Lord is your portion, and he increases you not only in the knowledge of that, but he increases you in a more love for the gospel. He increases you to love your brethren more, believe Christ more. And this is all keeping the Lord's word. And it made David behold God's mercy everywhere he looked. throughout his life and everything he suffered, every bit of it David saw was God's mercy to him. And he desired God to teach him more. Look at verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me more. Brethren, this right here is the ongoing cycle of a believer's life. He begins by showing you he's your portion. And we believe on Christ and we resolve to keep his words. And then he shows us our ways. And again, he brings us to cry out for mercy. And he renews your faith. And he renews your resolve to remember the Lord alone is your portion and to keep his words. In every affliction, he keeps increasing faith in Christ. In every affliction, he keeps making us more faithful for the Lord's righteous affliction. He keeps making us know the Lord's mercy more and more, and he keeps making you more loving and more merciful in your heart. And he keeps making you love your brethren more. And go over to Psalm 73:23. By every bit of it, this is what the Lord's doing. Every time, all the way to the end. And this is what it means that the Lord is our portion right here. He's making you see this more and more. Verse 23, I am continually with thee. We'll read verse 22 because he makes you say this every time too. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was a beast before thee. But he makes you see, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Who have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. You're my portion, Lord, now and forever. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God's the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's what he's teaching you. That's what he's teaching you. And when you come to the end of this life, this one who is our prophet, priest, and king, who is our portion, who's been teaching us this through from the first hour he called you, then shall the king say to you on his right hand, come, come, inherit this portion that was prepared for me by my Father for you before the foundation of the world, and then we'll have our portion forever. He's our portion. There will be nothing, nothing, nothing that enters into that inheritance, but only what Christ created. It's all of him. He's our portion. I pray God will bless that.